So, Gavin, I've had you on before. You're a fellow psychotherapist and a fellow PCI. And since we last talked, you're now a lecturer, I believe, in PCI.
Yeah, I'm actually very grateful and blessed to be lecturing on the certificate in the counselling and psychotherapy in based the Corrig House in Clondalkin in Dublin. And really enjoying that new kind of journey for me, Shane, since we last spoke.
Yeah.
Every Tuesday night I sit with amazing human beings changing their life. I was 19 in the group.
Wow, it's a big group.
Well, it's a big group, yeah, isn't it? Like when I done mine back in the day, it was 10 of us.
Mm.
I don't know what it was like for you, Shane, and when you were doing your cert. Or
well, the cert I think was 12 of us. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. No, but really. I mean, I absolutely love the work. Absolutely. It's, do you know what, Shane? It's one of those jobs you don't call work.
No, I don't call anything I do in life anymore work anyway, to be honest with you, because it's a privilege, you know?
A privilege.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And I mean, you must pinch yourself every now and then lecturing at the top of the class, and, you know, 5 years ago or 6 years ago, like if you could talk to you 10 years ago and said you were going to be lecturing in a class, you would have actually laughed at you, I'd say.
Shane, you'd blow me over with a feather if you said that to me 10 years ago.
Yeah.
Because I truly, truly believe that starting that journey in PCI back in the day, I started in 2016 and I've done the cert and I'm lecturing in the same class as I sat in as a student.
Wow. Know,
which is powerful in and of itself because, I mean, I know what it's done for me and I can see it in front of me. Now, as you said, standing at the top of the class or... But it's you know the way it is, Shane. It's group focused. It's the trust and the care in the room is there's words can't even describe it. You know.
Yeah, it's a powerful powerful thing. Like, you know, and it you know, even you saying that there's 19 in your class, like it's great to know that there is another 19 people coming into the world and stepping forward. And you know, there was a lot of people. There was 4 people in the cert class that were with me that never went on to do first year, you know, and I've met one or two of them since then, and they've said just to do the cert class, they think everybody on the planet should really do the cert class because it really does, it really delves deep into yourself, like, you know, into your human psyche, you know.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more, Shane.
You know. And I suppose that brings us nicely onto the topic that I suggested that we talk about tonight, which was, you know, I mentioned it earlier when I was talking to Dara, like that. You know, when we suppress our feelings and our emotions, people don't realise the impact that actually has on ourselves. And when I reached out to you to ask you to do that, your childhood, obviously, I don't know much about. But you were mentioning about an attempted kidnapping.
Yeah, Shane, I've processed this, you know, through the work of therapy over the years, and I suppose, when we're talking about suppressed emotions, I can give you an example of how the impact of repression of emotion. And like when I was 8 years old, I was at a football game with my dad and my two brothers. I was 8 years old. My brothers were, I think, 10 and 11 at the time, down in Athlone. And I had, a major shock. What we now know as trauma.
Mm.
And what I... Now, no more than ever is PTSD. So I was going out to my dad. I said, Dad, listen, I have to go to the toilet. And he pointed across the car park and he says, go over there and come back to me. And off I went through the big, big metal doors.
Mm-hmm.
As I went through the doors, I was grabbed by this stranger, you know, grabbed across the car park to the other side of the car park to a door. And obviously, I wasn't expecting it.
Mm-hmm.
I went into freeze mode, but I was able to grapple my way out of this guy's hold. You know,
hold. Yeah.
Ran back through to my dad. Couldn't speak for 10 minutes, with the shock of it. And well, without going into the whole, because we haven't got the time. But that was a moment that I suppose I was 8 years old, 1981, and it was a shock. It wasn't spoke about for another 35 years in my family.
Right.
So it was pushed under the
carpet.
The rug. Absolutely, Shane. But the thing is, I developed asthma A year later, I was diagnosed with asthma in the GP. So I had asthma from the age of 9, inhalers, doctor's visits, scans, chest infections, you name it. So we can say that type of, because remember, that was never spoke about. I never had therapy for that as an 8-year-old, where I suppose it was a different era, a different time. I don't know. Was it available? Maybe not. I don't know. But I've certainly done the work since, and I'm so grateful I have, because my asthma has, I mean, almost gone. I wouldn't say gone, but I had very bad asthma for years and years and years and years. You know, that kind of way. I was in and out of hospitals with stuff, all to do with my breathing. And we know that, you know, basically emotions are physical sensations at the end of the day, you know?
Yeah.
So my lungs, in this case, became inflamed, you know? And it's only when I got into therapy, as I said, like 2016, I really got in deep into therapy as I entered college. So, and I freed up myself just by doing that.
Yeah.
In that pathway, you know?
Yeah, I was sharing with you offline that I used to suffer from asthma as well, like, but I've done my work on myself, and I've healed my traumas, and I don't have asthma anymore. You know, and two things come from that, I think, is the belief system that my asthma came from a trauma, rather than actually, you know, I mean, a lot of doctors out there and stuff like that would actually disagree with us and say, you know, that's where asthma, like, and I'm not saying across the board for everybody that has asthma, I'm only talking about myself, and you're only talking about yourself, so
you represent ourselves,
yeah, that's all we can do is talk about ourselves, like, and I now know that when I get a bit wheezy or a bit caught in the chest, that's actually something going on in my body that I need to address, or some emotion that I might be suppressing, or something I need to do. And for me, it feels quite powerful that the asthma now has turned around into being my alarm bell for my stomach, for whatever's going on in me, to tell me, Shane, you need to look at this, or and it just feels, you know, it's like you know, I talk a lot of people who have long term illnesses about falling in love with their illness. And to a certain degree, I fall in love with my asthma because it's now become my warning signs, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. I can relate to that. As I said, my asthma is under control. I've been playing a lot of football and sports, and I've played GAA for years, soccer for years. It's never restricted that part, but under so much medication, I can recall as I was growing up into my teenage years and stuff. But it's interesting you said it's like it's your alarm to look inward, what's going on for you emotionally.
Yeah.
You know, that's quite interesting, isn't it? You're using it for your benefit.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
And I don't call it asthma anymore now. I just call it breathing difficulties, or I call it my alarm. You know, I suppose I'm really coming to the grips of it, like, but, you know, anytime I go back to my doctor, he always says, you know, do you want your prescription? No, I must admit, the last time I went back, he actually said to me, he said, so we'll let that prescription go then, will we? And I said, we will. You know, so I don't have any backup inhalers at home. I don't have anything to fall back on. Like, I literally don't need it, you know?
Yeah.
You know, and it's a powerful place to be in, like, but I mean, I suppose the more we, and like, and especially your type of work that you do, because you combine body work and psychotherapy aspect of it, you must see more and more the effects that suppressing our feelings and emotions has on people's physical bodies.
Oh, without a doubt. As I said, I'm a neuromuscular therapist as well, and I have been since 2006. So I've been working with the body for years, and then since 2017, sitting with clients in psychotherapy. So it's interesting. I'm in private practice, you know, and I see a lot of people for injuries, you know, sports injuries, etc. They want a massage, or I do a bit of dry needling and stuff like that, and I pick up so much emotion in the tissue, and it's really, really watching that boundary of crossing the conversation of when to get into the conversation to help this client realise that they're actually holding emotion in the body. So it's a fine line, but I mean, I to date now, it's welcomed by clients when I point it out. You know, is there anything going on for you, or what's happening in your world or your environment, and what's, you know, what could be the cause of this stress? And then, of course, it creates another conversation.
Yeah.
And that opens up a possibility for that individual to think about going down the road of maybe psychotherapy. I'm going to look at maybe there's other reasons why the ache or the strain in the body is there.
Yeah.
And I was talking to a doctor here based in Clondalkin. Absolutely a fascinating conversation. A GP, local GP, got in touch with me, and he asked me would I do a talk, and I didn't know any of the context. He emailed me actually, and we got chatting anyway. And I said, "What's the talk for?" And he says, "I'd like you to talk about, you know, the way emotions are stuck in the body, and like, because I'm in the minority." Of GPs. I've never met him, Shane.
Right.
I haven't met him. We're going to meet up in January, but we had just a telephone conversation, and it was all about emotions and what's been what's presented in his surgery and what people are coming in with. And he was very, very fascinated and interested in trauma and the way trauma is in the body. And we had this conversation that if we could sit with a few GPs, just local GPs here, and just maybe share some findings, some literature, some studies, just to back up. And this doctor, Dr. Hugh Nahaly, just to give him a shout out.
Yeah.
Nahaly, and he said, I am in the minority, but I'm starting to read up and I can see the patterns that I'm meeting in my surgery. I thought it was fascinating. I said to
him, I must admit, I haven't heard of a doctor willing to actually even address the situation, like, because they just straight away go to a tablet, like, rather than actually, you know, addressing the problem. Like, so I feel some bit of hope, like, because I have noticed, like, that doctors are just straight away going to a tablet, like, I mean, you know, or something, or an injection or whatever, like, and one of the things that I suppose, you know, for myself and my own journey, like, I mean, and one of the ones I always say to people, I say, you know, if you have a headache, you don't actually ask, why do you have a headache? You just take a paracetamol. And 90% of the people that have a headache because they haven't drank enough water in the day.
Yeah.
And I challenge anyone that actually struggles with headaches or something like that to just up their intake of water and see if their headaches start going away. And I've done this with a good few people and a good few clients and stuff. And I've said, you know, just up to, you know, if they struggle with headaches, you know, just up your amount of water that you're intaking. And they've all come back to me and said, yes, it took a little bit longer to get rid of the headache, but the headache went, you know?
Isn't it? Yeah, amazing.
You know, and look, we've become a society where we want the quick fix. We want something that'll actually fix us straight away. Like, but our bodies are a wonderful creation that we've been gifted, that tells us all the time what is going on for us and what we're struggling with and what we need to address. It's just that we've become a society that just ignores it, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, look, people are what they feel, aren't they?
Yeah.
I mean, to a large extent, people are what they feel. And, I mean, physical reactions, but they represent and accompany feelings. I mean, like, I would say, like, you know, for example, bodily changes, like, you'd have, like, people coming in, if they're carrying anxiety, for an example, you might see them in your practice, raised blood pressure. You know, they could count on many fingers how many, what kind of physical sensations they have, like pounding heart, you know, shallow breathing, rapid breathing, like for an asthmatic, muscular tension all the time, stomach problems. A lot of people say to me they're stomach problems, sleep difficulties. So our emotions basically are physical.
Yeah.
They're in the body. But like I just alluding to our work, we are privileged to work with individuals coming in with these presentations. You know, I absolutely love my job. And that conversation with the GP was an hour long. And when's the last time you spoke to a GP for an hour about this topic?
Yeah. Well, I don't think I've even heard of it. Like, you know, I mean, as I say, I haven't heard of a doctor that is willing to actually look at this and look at that. There might be alternatives and there might be other reasons why what's going on for it, rather than what they're being taught in college for them. Like, it's just, you know, it's very down tunnel visioned. It's only seen in one way. Like, you know, and look, I'm not taking from by any means on this conversation from the things that you can get, you know, from drugs and stuff like that. But I suppose you and I have talked before about Gabor Mate, and he says that 98% of the illnesses on this planet can be healed by healing the traumas. You know? So, you know,
we have spoke about him. He's fascinating, isn't he?
He is. He's powerful. His book is sitting on my stand, ready to be his new one. But it's only when it arrived I realised how big it was. But it looks like an interesting one. He's written it in collaboration with his son.
I have it there. I've started it.
Oh, have you started it? Okay, I haven't even got that far yet. No, but I'm looking forward to one of the things about psychotherapy is that, for me anyhow, that Christmas is actually a time that we're not that busy. It's probably one of our quietest times, for me anyhow. Like, so I'm looking forward to a good break over Christmas to sit down with Gabor and read his book. You know.
Yeah. I mean, he's always he's a fascinating guy for anyone that hasn't really got into him. He's all over YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
His book there. What is the latest one?
Something Minds. I can't think of it now off the top of my head. I've walked past it, like, but I haven't actually looked at opened it even. I did order it, pre-order it.
Yes. Well, he has said a few times. He says, of, you know, if we push emotions, say, away into repression, and out of, he would say, if you push them away from your awareness, like basically ignoring them, they will manifest in the body. And he always he cites illnesses such as Crohn's disease, fatigue, fibromyalgia.
Fibromyalgia is a big one, and so it's Crohn's disease. They're two big, huge ones. Like, but when you understand what Crohn's disease and fibromyalgia is all about, you can actually see that it's emotions eating you up from the inside out. You know. You know.
And he's certainly a go-to, isn't he, on this topic?
Well, I mean, he's the leading light, and he brought out a film there during the lockdown. It didn't go into the cinemas, but I watched it myself, and I thought it was a really powerful film. Like, you know. Can't think of the name of it now off the top of my head, like, but it was a really, really, and his legacy, he wants people to start understanding that if you sort out your feelings and emotions and sort out your traumas, you can heal anything, you know. And as I said, it's a powerful thing to actually come out like he did and actually say that 98% of the illnesses on this planet can be solved by solving the traumas or releasing your feelings and emotions. And that's a big thing for people to actually look at, you know.
You certainly listen to him and the likes of Basil van der Kolk and Peter Levine and the guys that talk about trauma. And trauma's everywhere.
Yeah.
I've mentioned before, like, even in college, like, college was the most amazing time and most amazing experience for me personally. The journey through the degree was just fascinating. But what I found difficult to understand and comprehend is that the word trauma wasn't mentioned too much.
No.
Which in of itself led me down to write about it in my thesis, paper.
Mm.
You know, and then since I've gone on to study EMDR, which is body-based somatic trauma approach to psychotherapy, I suppose, you know. So I think we were informed by our past to where what kind of avenue we lead into. And certainly for me, it was always the trauma from that 8-year-old Gavin who was nearly kidnapped.
Yeah, powerful.
Here to tell the tale, you know?
And here to tell the tale. So I suppose the message we're trying to get out to people is to not suppress your feelings and emotions, like. And you know, even what I know you didn't listen to him, but Dara Fleming was talking about his mental health, and he was talking about how important it is to address your mental health and address the problems that are going on, and address it in an everyday fashion, you know, like do your journaling, do whatever you need to do, bring it in as a part of a process. But like, as he also said, like, it is hard work doing therapy. It's hard work looking at yourself and looking at the negative stuff and looking at the hard stuff. But once you break through to the other side, you know, I know that's a song, but anyway, once you break through to the other side, you know, it's a wonderful place to live in, like, you know, where you are not suppressing those feelings and emotions anymore. And you know, I suppose the message I wanted to get across by talking to you about this subject tonight is that so many illnesses, in my opinion, anyhow, and on Gabor and an awful lot of other people that have written, Louise Hay is another great author on this subject. You know, if you keep suppressing your feelings and emotions, they're going to come out somehow or another in your body, and they'll more than likely come out in some form of illness.
Yeah, ultimately, repression of emotion creates toxicity in the body.
Yeah. And it makes sense, actually. It logically, when you think about it, it does make sense. Yeah. And whether that's going to psychotherapy, going to someone like you to learn how to release it, release the emotions in your body, going to listening to that gentleman that was on who has the blog where he, you know, he shares what's going on in his world, whatever way you need to do, you know, I don't care how you do it, but we need as a race to start learning to release our feelings and emotions and stop being so scared of ourselves, you know?
Yeah, here.
Yeah. Absolutely. So, Gavin, you know, more than likely, as I said the last time, I'll have you on again in the new year. So have a great Christmas and a great new year. And congratulations again on lecturing and every other aspect. And I can't wait to hear how you get on with that doctor in the new year and talking to other doctors about the subject, you know.
That's fantastic. And listen, Shane, thanks for the invite on tonight. And certainly we'll be talking again. Have a great Christmas to everyone listening as well.
Okay. Thanks very much. Bye, Gavin. Thanks.
Take care, bro.
Okay, bye.